From Radio Sausalito in beautiful Sausalito, California, I'm Mitchell Field, and you are on the field trip. Welcome to The Field Trip, a few minutes of conversation each week with some of the most interesting people in the Bay Area and Marin County. I talk to artists and writers, actors, directors, musicians, lots of the people who make the Bay Area a fun and a fabulous place to live. So let's get right to it. Back in the 1940s, a man named John Reber would look out over San Francisco Bay and envision a massive civil works project of dams and locks to harvest drinking water, and also barriers which would support a railway system and a highway. To test what was called the Reber Plan, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers built what we know today as the Bay Model, right here in Sausalito. The Bay Model is a vast, three-dimensional representation of the Bay Area and the Delta, capable of simulating tides, currents, river inflows, and other factors which affect water quality and movement in the estuary. Now, I know this because I recently joined a group of the public for a free guided tour of the Bay Model. The Bay Model manager, Chris Gallagher, has graciously agreed to be my guest on today's field trip and tell me more about this interesting facility right here in our own backyard. She's talking to me today from her office at the Bay Model. So please welcome to the field trip, Chris Gallagher. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Well, thanks for being on the show.
You're very welcome.
So first of us, for those who haven't been to the Bay Model, could you tell us where it's located and describe it a bit?
Yeah, the Bay Model is located at the north end of Sausalito, and we're located right along the waterfront. Our actual address is on Marin Ship Way is where we're located, although our physical address is 2100 Bridgeway, but we're right down in the Marin Ship area along the waterfront.
So describe the actual building.
Well, the building is left over from when there was a shipyard here back in the 1940s. This was part of the historic shipyard where they built T2 tankers and Liberty ships. And this was a Bechtel shipyard. And after the war was over, they built actually 95 ships in 3 years. So from the laying of the keel to the launch was 30 days. And after the war was over, the Corps of Engineers acquired the facility and built the Bay Model within the confines. And then in 1980, there was a general in Washington with the Corps of Engineers who was very proactive with reaching out to the public and telling the Corps story. And so they built what they referred to as 9 regional visitor centers across the United States, and we're one of the 9 regional visitor centers. So it was in 1980 that we added the visitor center and added ranger staff and did educational programs. And so our mission up until 2000 was both an educational mission and a engineering mission as far as we actually did studies on the model. In 2000, the Corps of Engineers made the decision that much of the testing that they were doing in those days they could do on computers. So they ceased the actual testing on the model in 2000, and in that year we became fully an educational facility, and our mission has been truly educational since that point.
Is this a one-of-a-kind thing, or are there models like this in other places?
No, this is the only one of its kind. There used to be a model on the East Coast of the Chesapeake Bay, but that was not open to the public, and it wasn't very functional for very long because they poured the cement for that model as one big piece, and then what they did was, unfortunately, when the model settled, didn't have the flexibility to be, you know, any adjustments or leveling done to the model. So when they built our model, they learned a lot of lessons from the building of the Chesapeake Bay model. So this is the only one of its kind in the world.
Well, now, your facility is built out of a lot of 5-ton concrete slabs, isn't that
mm-hmm.
right?
Correct.
And it's a gigantic space.
Well, the building itself is 3 acres, and the model itself is an acre and a half. And so That's the size of two football fields. And the model is put together sort of like a big jigsaw puzzle, which each piece of the puzzle was formed with its individual features and everything, and then placed in the model in the specific location where it belonged. And then there was a sealant very similar to like a tar that they use on roads put in the seams so to make it waterproof, so when we actually put water in the model, it wouldn't leak out onto the floor.
Now, when I was there, I was on a little tour given by Ranger Linda Holm, and I told her that my show was called The Field Trip, and she said to me, well, I'm very familiar with that because we get lots of people on field trips here. So who comes to the model? Are there lots of school kids?
Yeah, we have about 150,000 visitors a year. About 60% of that visitation is school children, because in California schools, they start studying California history and the gold rush and water in fourth and fifth and sixth grade. So that's the majority of those school kids. But we also have people who come from all over the world on international visits, or we have, you know, senior homes who come out to visit park and recreation centers. We have just general people that maybe just have a group of interested individuals that they have, and they want to tour, or they belong to a yacht club or some kind of sailing organization, whatever the case may be. So we, although that's the majority of our visitation is that fourth through sixth grade age, we do everything from little kids all the way up to college and university level.
So I believe it's also possible to arrange for a free guided tour of the model for a class or a club or a group.
Correct. We just ask that the group have at least 10 or more in the group, and they reserve the tour ahead of time. And when they call, that they have some alternate dates in mind in case their first choice is taken. But we do typically a tour in the morning and then typically a tour in the afternoon. The morning tour is somewhere around 10 o'clock, and the afternoon tour is around 1. But it's adjusted for whatever the group is to make sure bus schedules and other transportation needs are met, making sure, because we understand the constrictions of some of those things can't be changed very much. So we try to be flexible and work with each group.
Sure. And so you have programs on a variety of topics, right?
Well, the model lends itself to that, as well as the Corps of Engineers missions. We're very multi-mission organization. We're involved in emergency management, navigation, regulatory. So we talk a little bit about what the agency does, but the model also lends itself to topics about water quality, water diversion, salinity, wetlands, water, like I said, water quality, tides and currents, geology, sedimentation. So we work with each tour leader, whoever's booking the tour, to make sure that the tour is relevant to what they want to learn, their group to learn. Sometimes they just want a general tour, but other times they're studying something specific in school, and they really want us to emphasize one of those topics. So we want to make sure that it's relevant to what they're studying.
Sure. One of the things I liked was, two of the things actually, were one was the interactive voice recordings of some of the guys who actually built the place.
Correct. We did interviews with Bert Lewis, who built the model. He was one of the original concrete molders of the model back in the late 50s. He's still alive. And then we interviewed Bill Angeloni, who was one of the first engineers who worked at the model when it was doing testing. And then Dan Schaff, who was one of the engineers who was here just before the model closed. So those three individuals have interviews as part of the exhibits that people can listen to and sort of glean from them their perspective as to when they were here at the model.
Yeah, they're really nice. I like those. Mm-hmm. The other thing I really liked was the large tabletop model that you have of the Central Valley that really puts the thing into perspective. Even though I've flown over it a couple of times, you never really get a good idea of it until you look at something like that model.
Yeah, that's probably one of our most popular exhibits. We made the decision not to change that exhibit out because people really like touching that, and you really get to see the whole state of California, and you understand why it's called a valley when they refer to it as the Central Valley. It really is a valley, and so it's very tactile, and you know, we have many visitors who are visually impaired, so that helps for them to understand sort of the mountains in relationship to where the bay and the ocean is and the valley and things of that sort.
That's great. I can really understand that. And, mm-hmm. and you do get to touch things there like you don't in a lot of exhibits.
Yeah, we try to have something for every kind of learner. So people can go on a guided tour. We have audio tours. We have self-guiding tours. We have exhibits that people, if they just want to go around and look at pictures, you know, they can do that. There's information and as part of the exhibits as well. So we try to, you know, have a little bit for everybody so that, you know, something appeals to you depending on how you like to take in exhibits and museums and things of that sort.
Well, now, as the show is about interesting people, tell me a bit about yourself. What's your background and how did you get from there to here?
Well, I grew up on the East Coast, and I went to Maine and got a forestry degree, and then I transferred out here to California and went to Dominican University and got a degree in environmental education. And then I went to work for the National Park Service and worked for the U.S. Forest Service for a few years. And when I was working for the Forest Service, they had a job that was advertised at the Bay Model, and I applied and got it, and that was back in 1986. And came here. I was a ranger working in just on the education program and moved my way up into being the assistant manager. And then in 2001 was promoted to the actual park manager.
Well, congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that means that you must have led some of these tours yourself.
Yes, back in the day, they don't let me out at to do tours too much anymore. I do most of the VIP tours, but the day-to-day tours, I leave that to the rangers to do.
Well, so do you have any funny stories or funny questions that the kids asked? Has anyone ever fallen in the water?
We've never had anybody fall in the water. I've walked in the model a lot just with water in it. We did years ago, we did a program with Sausalito Park and Rec where the kids wanted to do boat races in the model. And so I allowed them to do that, but the gentleman who bought the boat, it was all on the same radio frequency, so all the boats ended up sort of all bashing into one side of the model. So I had to go sloshing around out there to kind of, you know, get them untangled and things like that. So, no, we've never, you know, it's interesting, as accessible it is, nobody's ever walked on into the model or put their hands in there. I think they kind of understand that it's important that it's a testing facility and stuff. It's interesting, at Latitude 38 used to run a story around April Fool's Day, and they used to insinuate that the Corps of Engineers and the Bay Model was in charge of the tides at the Golden Gate. And that,
like,
you know,
that.
And that also that Fort Point and Alcatraz were held down by these big chains. And it was the Corps of Engineers who went out and changed the chains every once in a while. And you could see the old chains at the Bay Model. And so people would come here looking for these big chains that would hold Alcatraz and Fort Point down. And then people would ask us, you know, when is the tide, you know, when do you let the tide out? And, you know, trying to let them, you know, convince some people that we were not in charge of tides. It was a higher being than us in charge of tides.
Well, now, there are other things to do on a visit to the Bay Model, right? There are art exhibitions, there's a bookstore, and community groups can also use the gallery space for educational meetings and exhibits and things.
Correct. We do, because Sausalito has such a rich artist history, we do allow artists to display their work in the gallery. We schedule different shows that change every 6 weeks, and those artists are allowed to come in and hang a show, and then we do allow them to have a reception. And my goal there is to not only honor Sausalito history, but also it brings another constituency base here that may not normally come to the Bay Model. If they come to see their friend's artwork, then hopefully they get excited about being at the model.
Well, the Bay Model is a great facility. It's certainly well worth a visit. It's right here in Sausalito. It's open year-round. Admission and parking are free. And for more information, you can call 415-332-3871. And Chris Gallagher, manager of the Bay Model, thank you so much for taking some time today to tell me about this great facility.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye.
That's Chris Gallagher, everyone. Well, thanks for joining me today on The Field Trip. I welcome your views and comments on the show, as well as your suggestions for future guests. My email address is mitchellfield@radiosausalito.org. The theme music you hear behind me is the tune Superjet, with the fabulous Marin sax man Noel Jukes up front. It's from the recording The Noel Jukes Quartet, featuring Matt Clark. Please remember that The Field Trip can be heard Wednesdays at the top of every hour at 1610 on your AM radio dial in Southern Marin, countywide on Wednesdays at noon on Comcast Cable, Channel 26, on your computer at radiosausalito.org, or 24 hours a day as a free podcast from the iTunes Store. If you liked today's show, please tell your friends. And if you didn't, well, please tell your enemies. So till next time, this is Mitchell Field saying goodbye, good luck, and see you next week.
We hope you enjoyed the preceding Radio Sausalito presentation. You'll find more great jazz programming and podcasts updated every week online at radiosausalito.org.